The best healthcare is there in ways big and small. There when we most and least expect it. We may not see it, but we feel it. It lets us know we're not in this alone. Everyone deserves a healthcare partner who never quits. One who's there for what matters. United Healthcare. There for what matters.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Financially Fit Podcast. I am your host, Andre Creighton, and I got an exciting one here for y'all today. I'm really, really excited for this one. But first, I want to thank everyone that continues to rock with me. Your support is instrumental into everything that I'm trying to do in helping our community become more financially fit. For those that are new, welcome to the podcast, and I hope that you find something fruitful out of our conversation today. So today, I don't usually have a lot of guests on this podcast, but today I have a special guest today, and it is Michael Roberts. So let me tell you a little bit about Michael Roberts. Him and I grew up together. We went to high school together. We played football in high school together. He went on to have a really illustrious career wrestling at Augustana, which is a D2 wrestling school. And then now he's also on my coaching staff. You know, I said that I coach high school football, but then outside of that, he is a real estate agent, and he is doing great work for the Realty Group. Not only that, but he also owns multiple real estate investments. So this is going to be a really, really exciting one, and I hope that you guys take in everything that comes out of this conversation. So without further ado, let's welcome Michael Roberts to the stage.
Thank you.
How you doing, Mike? Good to see you, man.
Likewise, my man. Likewise. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on here today, man. So, you know, I'm really excited to have you on. And, you know, I just wanted to, you know, tap into your breadth of knowledge in the real estate game and really help put our people on. That's what we're trying to do here. You know, in this podcast, I always say we're on our financial journey. And it's a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. And it's being maniacal every single day towards those goals. And we want to help people get there from a real estate standpoint. So, you know, I guess first, let's just talk and, you know, how long have you been doing this? You know, what made you get into the real estate game?
So I've been dealing with real estate for about, I would say, 8 years now. Purchased my first place ways back. And it changed my life. It allowed me to see an end game. You know, beforehand when I was paying rent, you know, you paying rent every year, you know that thing's going up when you're in a 12-month lease. And it becomes overwhelming because then you started, well, I don't know if everybody else like me, I started seeing, oh God, what is rent going to be in 5 years from now? You know, and understanding that process. And then I'm like, I had to find another way. So I had to find home ownership, which was the first way I figured to cover the biggest expense I would ever have, which is housing. Everybody has the housing issues. You know, if you don't have housing issues, you have other issues, which is homelessness, you know, and I've been that route too as well, which is why I'm in the journey that I'm in right now. I literally, for like just a little bit on my background, like I grew up in the streets of Chicago. I, you know, coming from that to Minnesota, my mom brought us out this way because she seen it was a woman's state, considered a woman's state. I guess it, I don't know what that entails. Like, I guess it has more assistance and stuff like that, accessible to women for shelters and stuff like that. So we went through the shelter system. We went through the Section 8 housing. We went through, you know, the in-betweens, and she now owns her own place in St. Paul here, as well as myself. And, I still feel like I'm dreaming. I still don't believe the things that I wake up and deal with on the day to day and the processes and the growth and just knowing, yeah, I stay consistent in everything that I do. You know what I mean? That's how I know I'm in the right direction and I'm doing what I was supposed to be doing, what I'm blessed to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, you're a very humble individual, and you know, I strive to be like you and myself in the real estate game. And what I, you know, my first question I have for you is, you know, there's a lot of people out here that are trying to get into their first home, their first time home buyers, and navigating the real estate game. You know, what advice do you have for those individuals looking to, you know, make their first property purchase, especially when you think about budgeting, you know, the financing options and finding the right location? What advice would you give them?
So first thing I would tell them to do is to dig deep and find their why. Because without your why, it's going to be a tough obstacle to jump. There's so many loopholes and obstacles that you have to go through in the process that if you don't have a strong why, you're going to be deterred every time. And also, the next thing I tell people to do is to know your credit score. First thing I ask my clients when they come and sit in front of me, I say, what is your credit score? If you can't flat out tell me, I tell you, my credit score right now is 806. There's tons of free apps out there that you can plug into, like Credit Karma and so many others, that will show you your credit score and show you what's affecting your credit. And to be seen on these credit accounts with TransUnion and Equifax, Experian, and stuff like that, you have to have at least a bare minimum of 5 accounts to be seen properly. And what that is, you tell people off top to get your bank account with your checking and savings, that's 2 accounts, and your credit card, that's a 3rd account. Everybody needs a car, right? So I tell you to get a car loan. That's your 4th account. You're going to get another credit card to take care of the maintenance, the gas, and everything on that car. Those are your 5 accounts. This is what you initially need before you get into the process of saying, okay, now I want to go look at a home.
Yeah.
Some people will deter themselves by going to look to go get that home. Oh, but I don't have a car right now. Let me go buy a car, and then screw up the whole process. You know, you got to have the baby steps to get into this thing. And then what I tell people, once you have those 5 accounts set up, you need to learn how to set your cash flow. Meaning, if you're a W-2 worker, your money needs to come straight from your boss, whoever pays you, directly into your savings, because you get compound interest in your savings directly. Nothing is paid out of your savings directly to anything. Everything is paid by your credit cards. All your credit cards need to be set due on the 28th of the month so that everything is cashed out on the 1st, and then cutting down your expenses, and then it's auto paid out of your savings on the 28th. So that you can gain compound interest on the money that's sitting in your savings, as well as cut down on your expenses by getting cash back with those credit cards, which is going to go on that balance anyways. And this is how you become optimal and getting into the process of, now I'm being seen by all of these TransUnion and all these other factors that determine how these lenders are going to lend to me. Now I'm able to get access to financing, like leverage, which is going to allow me to obtain 6-figure properties. You know what I mean? Whereas in my mind, where I came from, I never thought, I'm like, I couldn't own that. You need 3%. That's all it takes. So it's sweet and simple.
I love that. I love that, man. I don't want to segue too much, but you know, I just did a recent podcast around Dave Ramsey, and I know a lot of people follow his, you know, money fast, you know, plan to get debt free. And he talks a lot about how you don't need a credit score. And I don't necessarily agree with that. What are your thoughts on that? You know, hearing you say that, you know, you need a credit score to go on.
You need a credit score because that's for rich people. I don't need a credit score. I got cash. I pay cash for everything. Credit score offers you access to leverage. If you don't have access to leverage, you utilize the majority of your cash to obtain an asset to cash flow or do whatever it is you're trying to endeavor on. You need to have good credit. If you don't have good credit, now you're going to pay what that interest rate would have been, way more in interest to the bank on the front end of your loan. Majority of loans out there are set up first 10 years, you're paying majority interest to the bank. And that's why they call you on that 10th year or 13th year saying, hey, do you want to refi? You can get a lot of your cash out right now. Don't do that. Go and get your home equity loan, pull that same equity out, and keep your interest payments going towards majority equity the whole time while you're still getting access to that there. Only way I would ever do a refi is if I'm coming off of a BRRRR, which is when you're buying something to stress off the market and you're buying it, you're rehabbing it, you're renting it out, and then you're trying to refinance it to pull out your initial investment to go rinse and repeat. That's the only time I would do that, because it then starts over your 30 year, but who cares? Somebody else is going to pay that.
I love that, man. Like, so you actually dived in a little bit into my next question, you know, so, you know, some people are looking at, like yourself, investing in real estate as an investment, right? You know, they're not going to homestead it. They're looking to rent it out. You know, what, you know, key factors should potential investors, you know, consider when they're diving into the market? And, you know, how would you, what do you recommend for them in mitigating the risks, you know, that come with investing and maximizing those returns?
Get you an LLC. You know, you want to get you an LLC so you can start moving like the big dogs, writing off, expenses left and right. If you're in real estate and you have the opportunity to work 750 work hours in real estate, you get also another set of benefits that allow you to, cut back on your profits as well. I also would say once you go that route, you want to go DSCR loans. These are debt service conversion ratio loans that allow you to buy homes on the factors of what they will rent for in the market instead of utilizing your W-2s or tax information to try to obtain that home. So this is for people like myself who are self-employed, who like you want to run zero, you know, you got to show some funds to, show that you're actually able to buy this place, but the way your financial structure is set up, it doesn't work as well as W-2 workers when it comes to lending financing. Yeah. So you want to utilize this DSCR to actually get you that place without having to go through all the same stipulations that W-2 workers have to go through.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. That makes sense. And, you know, you're introducing me to some terms I actually have never even heard of. So, you know, I really appreciate that. You know, this is helping me as well, you know, as I'm thinking about kind of my journey. I know you're in the real estate game. You're selling homes. You're helping people sell their homes. You're helping people buy homes. You know, what are the trends you're seeing right now in the marketplace, you know, especially thinking after, you know, maybe pre-COVID to now post-COVID? You know, what are you seeing trend-wise?
So, like, you know, housing is housing. You know, the overall market itself, you know, we're sitting around 7% rates. You know, we're still sitting with scarcity in the market. So the housing market, we're underdeveloped. We're looking at mainly, the trends of urbanization trends where most cities are being developed. Like I would say Hastings, if anybody know that, that's like south of the cities here. It's more considered royal. But what I consider them being now is I consider Cottage Grove, where I'm located, and Woodbury kind of being the inner city now, and Hastings is now becoming the Cottage Grove, right? And you can see it in the home value growth. Like, I picked up a 3-bedroom, 3-bathroom out there back in probably 2017, 2018, and I got it off market for $150. It's now sitting at around $260 and climbing. You know what I mean? Just off of growth alone, you know, so literally, you know what I mean? You can see the development. You can see the different companies and stuff like Walmart's, Target's, Chick-fil-A's and stuff coming into the area. And you can see the property values grow because of that and so on, you know, with a lot of other factors that are there too as well, which we can't dig into here. But like, you can see the trends in the Twin Cities right now. The average home is going for, I think we had our average, let me not guess here, I got the numbers here, Twin Cities average home for sale was literally 495,000.
Wow.
It's continuously going to go up because of how our markets are set up. You know,
yeah.
when a home sells in the area, you know, due to scarcity in the market, due to low housing and underdevelopment of, you know, new construction, we're going to have these weird moments, you know what I mean, that are going to push prices above and beyond the norm. And something's going to get, we're in new territory here. So I don't want to speculate and speak into things. I kind of see what I see and feel what I feel. Try to keep my finger on the pulse of everything, given that I consider myself an asset strategist. So,
yeah, for sure. You know, for those that are listening, I know we got people all over the country. You know, Cottage Grove and Hastings are cities just outside of the Twin Cities here in Minnesota. So you can think of, you know, any rural or suburb outside of wherever you live. You know, you might see some of the same trends. We're running out of time here very quickly, so I'm gonna try to get through at least one more that I have for you. But you know, the process of being an investor and investing in real estate, you know, it entails a lot of negotiating. You know, what are some top tips for negotiating a favorable deal, whether you're on the buy side or sell side? What are you seeing?
How do you go about it? So me myself personally, if I was talking to a client, I would tell them, come shop with me because I'm the best negotiator around. but that's just me, you know what I mean? Being biased because I'm me. But at the same time, I do my due diligence and I build that rapport. Just like if I'm working with my client, I want them to be my best friend as well as I'm their best friend. I mean, that's how I'm moving in their interest, as if I was their best friend. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. In order to have a transaction go smooth as possible, you want to build that rapport with the other agent, with the other side, and you want to consider making a strong, reasonable initial offer. You know, that was a downfall of mine when I first came into here. It wasn't for my clients or anything, it was for myself. On my first couple of deals, I was like, nobody else is barking at this thing. Let me see if I can throw a little lowball in there or something, see what their bottom dollar is. That's not cool in real estate. You know, you kind of want to go a certain percentage under asking if there's no competition. But if there's competition, there's nothing else to be said. It's highest and best. They usually get the call in and that's about it. But me, myself personally, I understand my points of attack when it comes to negotiating. I understand the negotiating windows. So my negotiating windows are price off bat. I'm looking, is there any competition on this unit or what's going on here? How many days on the market has it been sitting? What's the condition of the place compared to the other comparables in the consumer market analysis that I've just done on the area? I then know that at the same time that we're negotiating that price point, it's not set in stone because I'm going to reopen up that negotiation in the inspection period, which I usually set from 3 to 10 days based on the size of the project or property. I also understand and I inform my clients too that we will possibly walk away if we don't have favorable, if it's not favorable for us to go through with this deal. Even if we did inspection, paid $500-$600 to an inspector, these are things that we gotta process and understand. And that's why we have to budget and save in the initial parts to have money for this type of situation. Because if we throw $600 at an inspection, now we don't want the place. We still got to go look for a place and throw $600 at another inspection.
You right, know what I mean? Right.
The third and last is the appraisal. So we get to open up the wallets again in the appraisal section. Because if that thing appraised for less than what the bank is willing to fund this thing for, saying if it's only valued at $200,000, but you want me to pay $300,000 on this place because that's what they offered and I took that offer. But the bank appraiser, because they're separate people. We separated them in 08 when they had that whole kabocle. But their third party system that gets called in. If that appraiser comes in and says, hey, that thing is only worth $200,000, there's a $100,000 gap. And if I didn't sign a gap appraisal as a client, if I'm my own client, then it's negotiable now. Somebody's going to have to pay that $100,000, or we're going to have to split the baby down the middle and, you know what I mean, make this thing happen, or in order for the bank to finance my mortgage. So yeah, those are the three ways that I know that I'm going to attack before I even get into the process of attacking.
Yeah. That's helpful, man. Like that is really helpful, because I think a lot of people get into this situation where, you know, they're having to bring extra cash to the table to fit that gap, right? And now they're underwater. you know, we all been there, right? And So I just want to thank you. You know, that's all we have for today. But I want to thank you for your time. You know, your wisdom. You know, you one of my boys, and you know, I just really appreciate you and all you're doing in the real estate game, especially for our community of people that are just, you know, behind the eight ball and trying to get, you know, what they call the American dream, right? That home process, right? So thank you so much for your time today, Mike. I appreciate you, and I look forward to, you know, continuing our friendship and seeing where we are in 10, 20 years. I know we're going to be on some island somewhere, hopefully.
Yes, sir. Hey, you know what they say, it's triple everything.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, that's all we have today. You know, as I always say, you know, the power is in how much money you keep. The power is not in how much money you make. Thank you so much for being here and listening to the Financially Fit Podcast. I am your host, Andre Creighton, and I will see you guys next time. Have a great day.
My grandmother was very often the only black person in the room, very often the only woman in the room.
There are some men who still consider us little girls and ladies.
I didn't recognize how pioneering her activism was.
Young black millennials for years have been asking me, why do you stay in the struggle? Why do you have hope?
People say we're made up. Tall tales, myths. Think what you want about us, but we can all be certain of this. Recycling is real, and it works. But what happens to your recycling once it leaves your home? Recycled glass is sorted in St. Paul. Then the clear glass is made into bottles for drinks, pickles, salad dressing, and more in Shakopee. At other facilities, plastic bottles get made into new plastic bottles. Recycling exists. Learn the real story behind recycling.
It's not just another day in your life. Things are changing for the better. At Comcast, we see those changes, and we're thinking about how we use technology today to live, work, learn, and play. And we're building for the future now, so we're better prepared for the wants and needs of tomorrow. That's why Comcast is rolling out multi-gig internet speeds to more than 50 million homes and businesses before the end of 2025, making our already industry-leading network even faster, smarter, greener, and more reliable. Over the decades, Comcast has been your partner, working hard to serve your community, and will continue to be your partner. We're expanding our gigabits, so you can enjoy the tiny bits that matter most.
You know Shaletta makes you laugh, but did you know Shaletta Brundage can also make you think and boost your business? Media personality, activist, and comedian Shaletta Brundage founded Shaletta Makes Me Laugh to celebrate and share the best of Black culture. It's a podcasting platform. You can download 10 weekly podcasts hosted by African-American subject experts at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com is also a production house creating broadcast-quality commercial content. And Shaletta and her team of storytellers create powerful promotional campaigns to get businesses the brand awareness they're looking for. Some of Minnesota's top businesses trust Shaletta, and you can too. Get out the word about your events and products and get in front of communities of color with ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. She's got the power to help your business.
Are you older or do you live with health conditions that put you at risk for severe illness with COVID-19? Then be sure to contact your healthcare provider right away if you test positive. Your provider may prescribe an antiviral medication that comes in the pill form. You may benefit from these medications that are effective in preventing severe illness, hospitalization, and even death from COVID-19. Even if your symptoms are mild, don't delay, because the treatment must be started within 5 to 7 days from the start of the symptoms to work effectively. Antiviral medications may be available for free or at a low cost. Ask your provider or pharmacist if you are eligible for a patient assistance program to cover the out-of-pocket costs. These antiviral medications are no substitute for prevention. COVID-19 is circulating in our community this winter, so stay up to date with your vaccinations. It's still recommended for everyone over the age of 6 months, and vaccines are especially important for those who are higher risk.
Are you a woman known as a good listener? Do you have skills in de-escalating situations? Are you what they call a people person? Then the Minneapolis Police Department would like to meet you. Now in a rebuilding phase, the Minneapolis Police Department is recruiting more women to wear the badge. The department offers career options for women with a high school diploma or GED. There are also opportunities for women with 2- and 4-year degrees who are ready to apply their skills in new ways. Police work makes a great second career for social workers, teachers, nurses. Women in their 30s and 40s are welcome to apply. There's no age cap. You'll be paid while you train and mentored by veteran women officers invested in your success. Minneapolis also welcomes current police officers to join the state's largest department. Make a difference on the streets, working in your community, in a career with competitive salaries and generous benefits. Go to MinneapolisMN.gov and search police jobs to find out more.
If you're looking for business advice, everyone's got an opinion, an angle, a surefire 5-step plan. But if you want to know whether any of it actually makes sense for your business, who do you turn to? Work with a banker who understands your business goals and how a strong banking relationship can help you achieve them. Work with Bremer Bank, because understanding is everything. Put us to work for you today at bremer.com.